kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title which we're going to talk about this evening. And our title is The Way to God is Through the Narrow Way. The Way to God is Through the Narrow Way. And I'm going to base our teaching today from Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, which I'm sure we all know very well. And this teaching is really part of the Beatitudes of Jesus' teaching that he gave, which we know are type of building blocks. And in these teachings, he speaks about marriage is sacred and binding. We're to do good to please the Lord. He teaches on prayer, the model of prayer, going that second mile. We're to love our enemies and do good to our neighbours. And he talks about laying up treasures in heaven. And so it goes on. And we're not to worry or to be anxious and so on. These are all very basic principles to learn that we build from with regard to our Christian walk. Very powerful, very strong teachings. And in the context of all of this, we take this up in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll look at verses 13 to 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. The way to God is through the narrow way. And he says here, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Father, may these words become living and life to us, and may we bear the fruit of this teaching now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. The way to God is through the narrow way. These are without doubt words of wisdom out of the Lord. And his teaching here is to build on the rock and not on the sand. He speaks about that in verses 24 and onwards. So all of this, as we know, are sound teachings. They're wisdom from Almighty God to us, in which we are to learn, to glean from, and experience. Now, the nature of these teachings are all so that we're not to give up, but we're to continue to stay with it, just keep coming, keep with the Lord, listen to the word, keep in prayer, because God will work these principles. He will work this within his life, because he knows that man in no way can live this in his natural strength. He may attempt, he may try, but we will fail. We have to have that new nature. We have to be filled and baptized with the Spirit, in which the power of God can help and enable us to be able to walk this walk that we read in the Beatitudes. Now, it leads in into this, where we read in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. So this idea of us entering this gate, and this gate which is wide, it's a wide gate, it simply means it's broad, it's spread out. And so we get the idea that many can go through this gate. It's broad, it's wide. And it means that most will go through this way. It also gives us an idea where it's broad, it's wide. It also gives us an idea that it's the way of destruction. It's the way of damnation. It means it's in many ways an entry to hell. That's the idea of what is being described here. And we get the same idea from this, from these words being used in Romans chapter 9 and verse 22. Romans chapter 9 and verse 22. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? So many go through this broad way, and they are vessels prepared for destruction. Did you know that God has to prepare man for what he faces without the Lord Jesus Christ in his life? This is absolutely frightening when you read such scriptures like this, that there are people around us that we see and meet or at work whose lives are being prepared as vessels for the wrath of God and destruction. That is what they are destined for. God has to prepare in this life two ways that you're going to go. Either the broad way, which is destruction, which is hell, or the narrow way, which is difficult to find, but is the way into eternal life. You have to be prepared for this. You are worked on and molded in this life. This life is preparatory through the fall of Adam. This life is preparatory as to where we're going to be when we take our last breath. And the Apostle Paul brings it clearly out here that some vessels are destined for the wrath of God and destruction. Quite awesome. And that is in the same analogy and teaching of what we're talking about here in Matthew 7 and verse 13. What about, what does it say in Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So there is the warning. Again, it's setting one's mind on earthly things. If you do that, you will be destroyed with the world and all the earthly things that will go under judgment. This is why God has to renew our mind, and we put on the mind of Christ. And this can only happen through the new birth as we receive Christ as our Saviour. Now, going back to this with those two very awesome scriptures, Jesus appeals to us to go the narrow way, because it's more difficult. It's where he gets the glory. In other words, no one can go through this narrow way. It's actually impossible. And so God calls us to what is impossible with man is possible with God. And of course, that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. As someone said this, if your road has a gate that is easy and well travelled, you do well to watch out. I'll give that again. If your road has a gate that is easy and well travelled, you do well to watch out. And that is the test, brothers and sisters. What road are we walking on? Are we walking on a well-travelled road, a road that is familiar, a road where lots and lots of people are walking, enjoying themselves, having fun, doing what they want to do? Is that your experience, or is your experience going through that narrow gate? And there are at times difficulties, trials and tests. You see, the broad way is always before us in this life, but the narrow you have to discern. And that is in many ways how we discern and test things, in the light of scripture, in the light of testing spirits, powers, principalities. This is one of the ways that you test a thing. Is it a broad way? Is it where most are going? Or is it a narrow way where you have to discern, where you have to wait, you have to test, you have to seek God, and so on? These are the ways that we test. These are the ways that we know how we're walking in this life. You see, our walking in the Spirit is imperative. And to see at times, there can be two doors. Sometimes we're presented in life with two doors, the broad way or the narrow way. And God will watch to see which door we prefer or we're going to go through. And God has ways in our walk, in our life, where he will allow this to happen, where we have to make decisions or choices. Are our choices influenced because most are going that way? Most speak about that. It looks agreeable. Or are we choosing the other way, where very few go, where very few talk about it or want to go that way, or where it would be? We've spoken recently, haven't we, in our studies of Abraham and Lot, how Lot chose the green pastures of the Jordan, the broad way, because it was appealing. It appealed to the senses. It made me feel good and everything. But Abraham proved he was a man of the Spirit. He chose still to remain in the plains towards Canaan, because towards Canaan, he knew that the land had to be possessed. There was an enemy there, and he had got to be defeated. You see, we are faced quite often with those spiritual choices in our life. And that's why we face these decisions in our walk with God. And he's going to see which one we're going to go through, which gate we're going to go through, whether it's the broad way or the narrow way. Well, I believe that there are some tests that God permits and allows for us to decide what we're going to do. And with regard to the Broadway, where you will find that the Broadway is being presented or looks appealing, or your eyes are looking more at that than the narrow way, one of the things you will always find with the Broadway, it doesn't really cost you that much. It doesn't cost you in your walk to seek God in prayer and in the Word and commitment and consecration, discipleship, the deeper life which we preach. You see, to wait on God, to get that sensitivity in the Spirit, to know how the Spirit is leading and guiding, whether individually or corporately. You see, the Broadway doesn't present that. The Broadway will show you the Broadway because it's big. You can see so much of it. It doesn't take a lot of discerning. It all looks very nice, very appealing, very warm and comforting and jolly. Just how the enemy works. But you see, the Broadway, very often, if we don't watch it, is already within our hearts. And you will often find where the Broadway is, there your heart will be. And those who profess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, who are preferring the Broadway instead of the narrow way, you'll often find what is accompanied with that is pride and unbelief. And there is the problem. Because they haven't gone through the narrow way. They're not seeking the narrow way in which to get that deliverance, to get that pride and unbelief out of their hearts. The Broadway is so much easier. The children of Israel had problems with God in the wilderness because their hearts wanted the Broadway. And when they couldn't get the Broadway, they complained, they griped, they moaned, and they wanted to stone Moses and raise up another leader. But God was trying to get the world, Egypt, out of her heart, and she wouldn't have it. And what was the problem? It was pride, resisting all the time. And God has to do the same with us. It's no different. Human nature doesn't change. Nothing new under the sun. And very often, you see, when we want the Broadway, it's because we're not dealing with unbelief, those weaknesses in our life. We're too afraid to face our spiritual giants. It's so easy to give in to them. It's so easy to bury our heads in the sand and pretend and go through the motions. But you see, God won't let us do that. And he presents to us these two ways, either the broad way or the narrow way. Well, you know, if you have settled it as a disciple of Christ and your hands are to the plough and you're walking daily, taking up your cross, there's no other option. There is no choice. It's not even debatable. It's not something that should be in my life. But God sometimes will allow the hedge to come down purely to show that the Broadway is still too attractive in our lives. And we're still too influenced by it. And it's lies. It's deception. Do you know the Broadway is a lie in itself? A deception. Whereas the narrow way leads to truth, deliverance, freedom. Well, we've looked at the Broadway. Let's look at the narrow way. The narrow way is the desert. It's the wilderness, and it's not appealing. You see, a desert, a wilderness, one of the things that is so evident about that place is that you can't build in those desolate places. You can't rely on water, on food, resources, energy, and so on. It's desolate, it's barren. Very little lives there or survives there, and yet the narrow way, that is what we are led to. And this will only ever appeal to those who are disciples of Christ. It will only ever appeal to those who are committed, who know that the narrow way is through commitment, it's through discipleship, it's through trials and persecutions and testings and deliverances. That is the way. That is the narrow way. And that's why he said, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And he means exactly what he says. Few who find it. It's a narrow way where it's you and God. Only one can enter through this gate. The broad way, many can enter through. You can all go through as friendly. You can all go through holding hands and having a good time and buddies and friends. But you're not with the narrow way. The narrow way is you and God. Everything else is reduced. Everything is stripped away. And when you enter through that narrow way, it is only between you and God to go through that gate. Because 2, 3, 6, 10 cannot go through that gate. And sometimes we like to try and get other people to get through this gate, but only one at a time can go through it. And you'll find that it's simply you and the Lord. You see, God is going to get separation from us. And this narrow gate is a clear sign and indication that God has to get the world out of our life and heart. That's one of the clear indications of its difficulty. The way that leads to life and few that find it. Because although we're in the world, we are not of the world. And God has to get the world out of our hearts. And he's doing that, brothers and sisters. We know that from Jesus' prayer in John 17. I read it last time, where he prayed, they're in the world, but he prayed that they would be kept from the world, kept from the evil one. And that is why God still keeps us in the world, for that very purpose, to show that he has triumphed over the world. He has triumphed over the powers of darkness, and that he too can do that in our lives as well also, if we let him, as we yield over to his way and not resist him. You see, when we go through this narrow way, it's a walk that looks so odd to the world. We look very odd to the world. They don't understand why we don't join in with them. They don't understand why we don't join in with their parties and activities and all the fun things that they do. Because we know that keeping company can corrupt. It can influence us. It can draw us away. And the broad way begins to look more appealing than this narrow way. And at times we're going to look odd, peculiar. They're not going to understand us. Well, we don't have to apologize for that, brothers and sisters. That is the calling on our life. We don't have to apologize that we don't go along with them, or we say no thank you, or whatever. The narrow way is a way of where God opens our eyes to see. And a lot of those things he opens our eyes to see, we don't always want to see. Because the broad way is easier to digest. It's where most are influenced. And you don't really have to discern, you don't really have to test. But when it's the narrow way, to receive that truth, that deliverance, because the word says if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. You have to seek God. You have to be a man or woman of prayer in the word, allowing the Holy Spirit to make you sensitive to the will of God and his ways. It's where we trust him. It's where we get deliverance from relying on this world. We're delivered from the arm of the flesh. That is what the narrow way is for us. The broad way is where it's easy. You can trust in man. You can trust in his technology, in the things that he boasts in. It's easy to trust in all of that. And it looks as though the enemy comes up with all the miracles, doesn't he? With all the healings. Well, they went to hospital and they came out healed. And here we are trusting God and trusting in the word and everything. And it's been years now and I'm still suffering. Why? Because we have not settled the narrow way. And when you settle the narrow way, then you see a greater revelation of what God is doing and what he's doing in your life. And why at times he permits us to go through what we go through. As I've always said, that redemption is far greater and bigger than whatever we see, because we're so self-centered, caught within ourselves, that we cannot see the bigger picture. And the reason we don't see the bigger picture is because we're still tempted by the broad way, the arm of the flesh. And we're not getting that discernment that we should be. Why? Because it's opposite to the world. Everything God does in our lives, both individually and corporately, is opposite to the world and what the world is doing and what the world is saying. Because that is the broad way. And we have to wait, we have to discern and test and listen to what God is saying. And very often it's that still small voice. That is why we get into the word. That is why we have the word preached under the anointing to us. For the very reason that our lives and hearts are changing. The very life and nature of Christ in us being formed. That is the whole purpose of it. And that's why we have to rely completely, utterly on the Holy Spirit and his ministry, his teaching, his deliverance. One of the things that you are aware of if you go through the difficult way, the narrow way, you are so conscious and aware of the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life, working things in and through you that could never be done going the broad way. That is why I keep saying so often, our life is a miraculous life. It is a supernatural life. You cannot have a supernatural life if you go the broad way, because you're like the world. You talk and act like the world. But the narrow way makes us supernatural, a miracle. Salvation is the miracle in this life. Impossible in the natural. The narrow way gives you a testimony and a life that people will look at and will see the word of God written in your life, in your walk, and so on. The problem is, we don't always believe it. We're not always convinced. But brothers and sisters, there is no other way, because I've already spelt out to you at the beginning of this the gravity of the broad way and what it is and what it reveals. And if you are entering through that narrow way, that gate, that which only one can go through, then you thank God that he has called you from the foundation of the world in which this can happen and be accomplished in your life, because it's impossible otherwise. No one can even attempt to go through this narrow way. And few there be that find it. I find this absolutely awesome. It's just, you cannot get your head round it. When we look in the scriptures and we get illustrations at times of this narrow way. The flood, Noah. Just those few souls that were saved. Nobody believed that God was going to send a flood. And then the destructions of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, those five cities that God said he was going to destroy, and four souls were brought out, and one of them turned into a pillar of salt. Why? What are we seeing there? We're seeing the narrow way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. That's what the word of God says. All the while the Lord tarries, all the while we walk each day by faith, we are learning to find this narrow way. We all think, oh, I'm fine, I've gone through, I'm through the narrow way, I'm on my way to glory. We're finding it each day. And there are times we're tested where the broad way looks so much easier. But that leads to destruction. And that is why the narrow way will always separate us from the world and its ways, its lies, its deceptions. And my goodness me, are we not now experiencing in these closing days the lies, the deceptions now? Man's hearts failing them, falling away. We're seeing paganism now like we've never seen before. You don't trust anything in this life. Don't trust anything in this life, what you hear, what you see. Go through the narrow way and God will reveal the truth. He'll reveal in his word what he's saying, what he's doing. And that is why it's so important that we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That is the characteristic of those seven churches in the book of Revelation. Each of them are admonished to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It is absolutely vital. And that's why the Lord said in John, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They will know. They will discern. They will test. And every challenge that we hear, we know it can never be achieved or done in our strength. It has to be by the might and Spirit of God. That's why I preach that on Sunday. Not by might, nor by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that builds your life. He doesn't want our fleshly efforts. We know that we have to let go. And we let go in these trials. We let go in these tests. So that God can take over. Whatever trial you're going through, God says, let go. You are the hindrance. And all the while we hold on in these trials, we're actually saying, I want the broad way. I want the broad way. It's easier. Until eventually we get it. No, it's the narrow way. And the narrow way says, let go so that God can be God. He is in complete control. God called us from the foundation of the world. And we believe that we have been called vessels for honor. Vessels to be filled with the presence and power and glory of Almighty God. Either you know that in your life or not. And if you're not sure, you don't know, you have the time in which to get that right. But I can assure you, to know that and experience that, it is the narrow way. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And as I close with this, the broad way is for those who are searching for God. The broad way is for those who would like God in their life. They would like to know that they are going to heaven. The broad way is sadly for a lot of religious people. And they think that they're on their way to glory. But it is not until the sword of the Spirit, God's word, comes and which he divides, and then you're faced with that decision. No, this isn't the broad way. This is the narrow way. And that is where the choice is made. And that is why we have the word of God, so that we're not deceiving ourselves or being deceived. But we know that we have gone through the narrow way which leads to eternal life. I'm not saying it is easy. It is difficult. But it is not impossible. And we have the assurance that Jesus, the forerunner, has gone before and entered through that narrow way and made it possible for each of us now through his death and resurrection. And that is why the gospel is such a good news. And there are still some, before the last Gentile is to be saved, who will go through this narrow way. Then the Lord will return. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you, Father, that you want none of us to be deceived. We're so good at doing it. You have a way of laying our lives completely bare and open before you. But that is for a reason, because you love us. And you want us to make that right choice. And Lord, we choose that way. We know it is the only way. And it is the way that glorifies your name and pleases you. Father, I pray that when we go through trial and tribulation, may the narrow way always be more appealing, be what we're always looking to, and not the broad way. Father, I thank you for our meeting. I thank you that we are your people called out and set apart unto you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that seals and preserves and keeps us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who comes to lead and guide and teach us in the way of truth. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with us, bless, preserve and keep us. And may the joy of the Lord always be our strength. And may we be lights in this world of darkness. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
You would have me against all disaster. Let him in constancy fall.